Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Dr. Jawaid Khalim, bariatric surgeon with UPMC Hammett. Dr. Khalim, thank you for joining us for this October 2022 edition of Business Spotlight featuring UPMC Hammett. We'd like to start the program off by having you give our listeners a little insight into your path that led you to UPMC Hammett. And let's also go over your background as a bariatric surgeon.
So I finished my residency in general surgery in New York. It was in New York City, in the Bronx. And then after that, I went for a one-year fellowship in advanced laparoscopic surgery in the University of Missouri, which is in Columbia, Missouri. And in 2010, I came to Erie, and I had initially joined St. Vincent, and I stayed there for 3 years. And then in 2013, I joined UPMC Hammett, and I've been here since that time. And I have two other partners, and we work together. They are Dr. Amjad Ali and Dr. Muhammad Asad. We work together as a team, and we have a great chemistry. Our office staff is amazing. And UPMC Hammett as a whole has provided amazing support to this program to make it the successful program that we have currently.
And we're certainly looking forward to hearing more about the program throughout today's show. Dr. UPMC Hammett Bariatric Surgery and Weight Management Center just received an MBSA QIP notice that your center and all three physicians within it are accredited for 3 additional years. Can you explain the significance of the accreditation achievement?
So a lot of specialties, they are now, to make sure that patients have access to the greatest care, most of the specialties now try to achieve what is called as a place that is considered to be a center of excellence. Now, what that means is that location provides surgery or services to similar patients, and the facility where that service is provided has been inspected by an organization, and they have found that the services provided and the facility is at par with the best facilities available in the U.S. So the American College of Surgeons, they run a Center of Excellence program for bariatric surgery. And every 3 years, we have to undergo the reaccreditation process, which involves reviewing the patients that have been operated in this facility to make sure that they are getting the best care. And it also involves inspection of the facility to make sure that this facility is able to provide care to these patients. And only the centers that are able to provide the best possible care with the lowest complication and places that can manage these complications well are provided this Center of Excellence certificate. And fortunately, at UPMC Hammett, we have been able to maintain this Center of Excellence for, I think it's more than 10 years now that we have this Center of Excellence certification. And most recently, we underwent a recertification in September of this year, and we passed that with flying colors. All our 3 surgeons were also accredited as surgeons who perform bariatric surgery as a part of Center of Excellence.
Dr. Khalim, hearing your breakdown of the accreditation, it really has to give patients who choose the UPMC Hammett Bariatric Surgery and Weight Management Center here in Erie incredible peace of mind knowing the work that goes into being a center of excellence.
Absolutely. If I'm a patient and I'm looking to go to a place to have a procedure done, I would want it to be done at a place that performs a lot of these procedures and that is able to manage these complications that any procedures can have. So that is the designation called Center of Excellence. And fortunately, in this area, we have a place that has a Center of Excellence designation for bariatric surgery. And as far as I'm aware of, in the whole of this region, UPMC Hamad is the only hospital that has that accreditation.
Let's talk about the surgeries now, and I'll ask you, what are the two bariatric surgeries primarily performed at UPMC Hammett Bariatric Surgery and Weight Management Center? And I want you to break down both of them for us.
So in general, all across the country, there are two common procedures, and we do the same two procedures commonly at UPMC Hammett, and they are called the sleeve gastrectomy and Roux-en-Y divided gastric bypass. Some patients like to call it the R&Y or just a gastric bypass. Now, as far as the difference goes, they are very different procedures and suited for different patients. So sleeve gastrectomy involves cutting out a portion of the stomach, and we remove almost about 70 to 80% of the stomach is resected and removed. And so patients are left with a thin, long tubular stomach, which is only able to hold a small amount of food. And the commonest reason why patients lose weight with this procedure is called restriction. That means they are restricted in the amount of food that they can eat. One other interesting thing that happens with patients who get a sleeve gastrectomy is, at least in the initial phases, their production of ghrelin, which is a hormone which incites hunger, is markedly reduced. So they are not as hungry, especially in the first few months after weight loss surgery. Now, as time goes by, that hunger hormone does come back. So they start feeling hungry again, but even then they are not able to eat a large portion. They feel full after eating a small amount of food. And so these patients can consume much less calories and have the same satisfaction as somebody who would have a normal stomach, and they would have to eat a much bigger meal to get that satisfaction from eating. And that eating and that satisfaction from eating is a very important thing when you talk about weight loss. If a food is not able to satisfy a patient's hunger, then unfortunately we continue to eat until the time it satisfies our hunger. And so a smaller stomach is easier to be satisfied. So that's how a sleeve gastrectomy is done. As far as the gastric bypass goes, now that surgery has two different components. We cut the stomach into two parts, and as opposed to the sleeve gastrectomy, we do not remove any part of the stomach, but now there is a smaller stomach which is connected to the small intestine, and there is a bigger portion of the stomach that is now disconnected, and it food that we eat does not enter that part of the stomach, but it still stays inside the body because it continues to produce some digestive juices and enzymes. And the next part of the surgery is to reroute part of the small intestine. So all the food that is eaten doesn't get absorbed completely by the body. So it has two components. One is restriction. There is a small stomach pouch that can only hold a small amount of food. And then when that food goes down into the intestine, part of it is not absorbed by the body. So that is called malabsorption. So gastric bypass patients have two components where they have some malabsorption along with restriction. So in terms of weight loss, patients who have a gastric bypass on an average will have a slightly higher amount of weight loss as compared to the sleeve gastrectomy. And those are the two most common surgeries done at UPMC Hammett. There are other operations that we do for weight loss surgery. One of them is called a duodenal switch. It's a little bit more complicated operation, and that's reserved for a few patients. And patients who are who fall into that category, we discuss that procedure with them more in detail. We also used to do gastric banding in the past. Unfortunately, gastric banding is not done as much now. And most of our patients who have the gastric band are generally the ones who have had it a long time ago, and we follow them. But those are the four procedures that are approved by American Society of Metabolic and Bariatric Surgery for weight loss.
When it comes to the sleeve and the gastric bypass, which of the two surgeries is most common and provides greater results?
So out of the two, sleeve gastrectomy is the more common procedure that we do. But as far as which provides greater result is a little bit difficult question to answer, because these procedures are done for maybe slightly different variables. So there are some patients who would actually benefit more from a gastric bypass, and there are some patients who would benefit more from a sleeve gastric. If you look at only the weight loss, average weight loss that we see with patients who get a sleeve gastrectomy would be in the region of 60 to 65% of their excess body weight. And if you look at the gastric bypass, the average weight loss would be in the region of 65 to 70% of excess body weight. So there is definitely a little bit more weight loss that we see in patients who have the gastric bypass. But when you put it together with the possible risk and complications, because now patients who have a gastric bypass do have a slightly higher risk of complications, which could be short-term or long-term, especially the malabsorption of vitamins and minerals. So these patients who end up losing a little bit more weight after a gastric bypass may have a slightly higher risk involved. And that is why most of our patients do choose sleeve gastrectomy. And that is the commonest procedure that we do for weight loss.
So, Dr. Kaleem, taking into consideration some of the things you just went over, what are some of the variables that you look for when recommending which surgical option to a patient candidate?
So, for example, one of the variables that we look for is, do patients have a significant acid reflux disorder before surgery? Now, if somebody has, let's say, a lot of acid reflux problems and they are already taking medications for heartburn, for those patients, we would usually recommend a gastric bypass, because a gastric bypass patients have a very good result with their heartburn issues. Their heartburn almost always resolves completely. Whereas patients who get a sleeve gastrectomy, they may have slightly more heartburn after weight loss surgery, after sleeve gastrectomy. And when studies were performed on patients who got a sleeve gastrectomy, they found that about a third of patients might have slightly more heartburn than what they had before surgery. The other third would have the same heartburn that they had before surgery, and the last one third would have some improvement in heartburn. So that is one of the things that we always talk to patients who get sleeve gastrectomy, is there is a risk of higher heartburn issues after sleeve gastrectomy. But if you already have severe heartburn, so then maybe the better option would be to do a gastric bypass. Now, if they don't have any heartburn issues, then sleeve gastrectomy provides slightly lower complications, and the malabsorption of vitamin and minerals are not as bad as the gastric bypass. So patients who don't have significant heartburn, most of them will choose a sleeve gastrectomy as opposed to gastric bypass. Some studies also show that patients who have severe diabetes, they do better with gastric bypass as opposed to sleeve gastrectomy. There are some studies which show patients who have gastroparesis may actually do better with sleeve gastrectomy. So those are the variables that we look at when we recommend what kind of procedure a patient should get. But we actually let patients decide what procedure they get, as long as they understand and we explain to them the reason why we recommend one procedure over another.
Doctor, you've referenced a couple of times the possibility of complications when discussing the two surgeries. What should patients know about the possible complications from either the gastric sleeve or the gastric bypass?
So, now, complications can happen after any surgical procedure. And unfortunately, there is not a single surgical procedure that cannot have complications. But fortunately, with the way we do these procedures nowadays, with very small incisions and using cameras and robots, the risk of complications have gone down significantly. But there are a few things that patients should know before they embark on this journey. And all the patients who are going through the process at our center, we actually ask them to go through a seminar where we discuss about the possible risk and complications and the process of the surgery. So it's a one-hour seminar that is available online, and most of the patients are able to see it at home. And so that patients are able to decide better, they make an informed decision based on the review of these complications and risks. So when we talk about complications, we divide them into two categories. One is immediate complication that can happen within the first month of surgery. And then there are some long-term issues that can happen even after 10 years after surgery. So immediate complications include things like infection, bleeding, blood clots. That can happen with any operation, whether it's like a gallbladder operation, hernia operation, or knee operation. So those things are similar. As far as the weight loss surgery goes, one of the complications that can happen is that areas of the small intestine or the stomach that have been cut, if they don't heal properly, you could develop a complication which is called a leak, where food that is consumed can leak out of the intestines, but that is very rare. It is seen more in patients who smoke cigarettes or consume an excessive amount of alcohol or take medications that impair healing. So we actually screen all our patients to make sure that they are not smoking. And if they are smoking, we encourage them to quit smoking before surgery. And for most of the patients, if they are able to quit smoking even 6 to 8 weeks before surgery, that risk of leak does go down significantly. As far as long-term complications, one of the commonest things that we see is if patients are not taking their recommended vitamin and mineral supplements, there may be some vitamin and mineral deficiencies. These mineral and vitamin deficiencies are more commonly seen in patients who have the gastric bypass, but they're also seen in patients with sleeve gastrectomy. So that is one reason why we like to follow our patients for lifelong. So once our patients get weight loss surgery, they continue to follow up with us in the office for as long as they are alive or they are in the region to make sure that they are doing well with weight loss and that they don't develop any of these vitamin and mineral deficiencies. As far as the slight difference in patients who get a gastric bypass, because we do read out their small intestine, which causes the malabsorption, long-term complications could include bowel obstructions, even though it's not too common, but those things can happen when there is a surgery involving a small intestine.
Describe the ideal candidate for bariatric surgery.
So an ideal candidate for bariatric surgery is best described by the National Institute of Health criteria that were laid down long time ago. And most of the insurance companies, they follow that criteria when they are looking at a patient if they will cover weight loss surgery or not. And that criteria is if a patient's BMI is more than 40, which roughly translates to at least 80 to 100 pounds of weight over their ideal body weight, but it can vary quite a bit if the patient is either very short or very tall. But BMI of more than 40, these patients automatically qualify for weight loss surgery. Patients who have a BMI of more than 40, they are considered to have morbid obesity or class 3 obesity, which predisposes them to developing significant medical problems from this obesity. And that's why patients who have a BMI of more than 40 should consider weight loss surgery as long as this weight has been present for at least, we say, 2 to 5 years. It is not for somebody who has gained weight within the last few months and without trying anything to lose weight, end up having weight loss surgery. So patients who have chronic weight issues and have a BMI of more than 40, they qualify for weight loss surgery. Now, some patients may actually qualify for weight loss surgery if their BMI is between 35 and 40. And these are patients who have a high disease burden from obesity. So patients who have weight issues and along with that also have, let's say, for example, diabetes, and their diabetes is not coming under control, or they have very high cholesterol levels, or if they have sleep apnea, these patients may actually qualify for weight loss surgery at a lower weight, which is a BMI of between 35 and 40, because what studies found that these patients will benefit quite a bit if they lost weight because of the disease burden they are carrying.
Dr. Kaleem, your office also counsels patients in weight management. Is this done both before and after bariatric surgery?
Yeah, so patients who come for a weight loss surgery, we encourage them to make changes to their diet and lifestyle, and they undergo a very rigorous follow-up before and after weight loss surgery, because what studies have found is that weight loss surgery is part of what we do to help patients lose weight. If we only do an operation and don't counsel the patients about how to eat, what to eat, how to stay active before and after surgery, the results of weight loss surgery are far, far inferior. When these patients are counseled, and most of the patients have to undergo a six-month program, which includes meeting with the nutritionist, meeting with a psychologist, and following up with us once a month so that we can document what are the changes they are making to their diet and lifestyle and encourage them to make those changes. And we have a very rigorous follow-up program after weight loss surgery. We follow patients within the first month of surgery, and then the next follow-up is within 3 months of surgery. Then we follow them every 3 to 6 months, depending on how they are doing. If the patients are doing really well and we think they might not need as much counseling, we will follow them maybe every 6 months. But if patients need more counseling, then we follow them every 3 months.
What can someone expect if they decide bariatric surgery is for them in terms of the length of the surgery, the length of recovery, and eating habits following surgery?
So, as I said, first is that patients have to go a pre-op process, which is about 6 months. Once they complete the process, once the insurance, we get an authorization from insurance companies, then within a month, they get scheduled for surgery. Once surgery is done, patients stay in the hospital for about 1 to 2 nights, depending on how they are doing. Most of the patients will go home after 1 night. Some will stay for 2 nights. And then we recommend that patients take 2 weeks off from work after weight loss surgery to focus on recovering, getting their energy back, strength back. After 2 weeks, they are allowed to go back to work. But we do recommend that patients don't lift heavy weight or push or pull heavy objects for about 6 weeks after weight loss surgery. As far as keeping the weight off, most of the patients who undergo weight loss surgery and who are following up, they're able to keep their weight off for long term. When the studies were done, they found that 10 to 15% of patients who undergo weight loss surgery may have some or most of their weight regain after weight loss surgery, but it happens in not more than 10 to 15% of patients. And unfortunately, these are patients who usually don't follow up after weight loss surgery. Follow-up is very critical after weight loss surgery. And we tell patients that, again, it is quite possible that patients might move to a different area. But most of the places in the U.S. now have some bariatric practice. And if you can't follow up with the place that you had surgery, you should find a place that is closer to you that can follow bariatric surgery patients, and that's extremely important.
Doctor, we talk on this program quite a bit about the technological advancements that UPMC Hammett has access to and implements consistently throughout their hospital, and I'm sure your center is a part of that too. Describe some of those technological advancements in bariatric surgery to our listeners.
So UPMC Hammett has the latest Da Vinci robot system that we utilize in all patients who undergo weight loss surgery. What this system enables us to do is perform operations with the small incisions, and we make like 5 incisions, which are almost just like a centimeter in size. And even patients who have a very high BMI or who are very big, we are able to perform these advanced surgeries with just these small incisions. And these robots help us do those procedures. And we had one of those systems, which is called the Da Vinci Xi system. And very recently, UPMC Hammett acquired a second system because of the number of surgeries we were doing. So we have two most advanced robots available in the U.S. that we use to do surgeries on patients for weight loss.
Dr. Kaleem, you shared a lot of great information with us on today's program. We certainly appreciate your time. I know that your center continues to impress for all the amazing work that they do here in Erie. Are there any other comments you'd like to make about the center itself or the incredible healthcare team at the UPMC Hammett Bariatric Surgery and Weight Loss Management Center that we didn't get an opportunity to touch base on?
Yeah, a couple of things I would like to touch on. Number one is that all three surgeons at UPMC Hammett have actually taken a board in obesity medicine. So we also treat patients if they are not a candidate for weight loss surgery and they're still interested in losing weight. We help patients with medical weight loss without the need for surgery also. And the last thing that I want to touch on is a new procedure that we started doing at UPMC Hammett. We've been doing it for almost 5 years now, but it's called LINX procedure, L-I-N-X, which is like a ring of magnets that we place on patients' esophagus in patients who have severe acid reflux disease. So these are two of the most recent additions to our program. One is the medical weight loss, and then we started doing helping patients who have severe acid reflux. We started this procedure in patients who had weight loss surgery because they had no other option for reflux management. But this is also available to patients who have not had weight loss surgery and they suffer from severe reflux, which is not well controlled on medications.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.